we looked at language and Pentecost. Tonight we look at what it means for any mind, human or machine, to be called intelligent. The book of Proverbs opens with a question of definitions. Solomon says he is writing so that the reader may know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. Three Hebrew words sit at the heart of his project: chokmah, wisdom; bina, understanding; da'at, knowledge. They are not the same word. Da'at is information, the names of plants, the dates of kings, the Pythagorean theorem. Bina is the ability to put information together, to see that two facts belong to the same pattern. Chokmah is something else again. Chokmah is the skill of living well. It is what a good carpenter has when he reads a piece of wood. It is what a good mother has when she reads the room before her children speak. It is the ability to do the right thing in a moment that no rule book covered. The Greeks had their own version of this distinction. Sophia was theoretical wisdom, the kind a philosopher has. Phronesis was practical wisdom, the kind a craftsman has. Aristotle wrote whole books trying to keep them apart. In 1 Kings chapter 3, God appears to the young Solomon in a dream at Gibeon. He says, "Ask what I shall give thee." Solomon could have asked for a long life, or for riches, or for the heads of his enemies. He asked for an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. God answered with the line that became famous: "Behold, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee." Notice what Solomon did not ask for. He did not ask for more facts. He had access to the royal archive. He could have asked for 10,000 books. He asked instead for the kind of mind that could tell good from bad. That is the Bible's first definition of intelligence, not facts, discernment. The word intelligence in artificial intelligence is borrowed from the human word, but it has been stretched to mean something narrower. In the field's own definitions, intelligence is the ability of a system to achieve goals in a wide range of environments. A chess engine is intelligent in the domain of chess. A language model is intelligent in the domain of producing plausible text. A self-driving car is intelligent in the domain of staying inside a lane. The general purpose models you can talk to today, the ones that draft a sermon, write a poem, plan a meal, are called large language models. The word language is doing most of the work. The model is good at predicting which word should come next, given everything that came before. It is not good at telling you whether the resulting sentence is true. A useful comparison: a 6-year-old child can look at 3 coins on a table and tell you there are 3. A trillion parameter language model will tell you what 3 coins look like, what they cost, what the head of the coin pictures, and which countries use them, and then sometimes invent a 4th coin that never existed. We are not yet at human-level intelligence. We are at a different kind of intelligence, narrow, statistical, and astonishingly fluent at one slice of what minds do. In or around 1455, in the city of Mainz, a German goldsmith named Johannes Gutenberg finished printing a Bible. He had spent more than a decade building a movable type press, designing a typeface, formulating an oil-based ink that would stick to metal but not smudge on paper. The Bible he printed, the 42-line Bible, was the first long book printed with movable type in Europe. Before Gutenberg, a Bible was a year of work for a scribe and the cost of a small farm. After Gutenberg, a Bible could be printed in days for the wage of a tradesman. Within 50 years of his press, an estimated 20 million books circulated in Europe, more books in one lifetime than had existed in the prior 1,000 years. 3 things followed. The first was literacy. People learned to read because there were now books to read. Schools spread. Within a generation, vernacular Bibles, Luther's German New Testament in 1522, Tyndale's English in 1526, let ordinary believers read scripture for themselves. The Reformation was not caused by the press, but it was carried on its back. The second was misinformation. The same machine that printed Bibles printed pamphlets accusing neighbors of witchcraft. The same machine that distributed Luther's theses distributed forgeries of them. The Council of Trent in 1546 was already trying to control what could be printed. The third was unfinished. We are still living inside what the press began. The internet is the press's child. AI is the internet's child. Each layer makes information cheaper and faster, and each layer raises a sharper version of the same question: who decides what is worth printing? A large language model can produce, in 20 seconds, a sermon that would have taken a young pastor a week to write. It can produce 1,000 of them. It can produce them in every language. It can mimic the cadence of a preacher you trust. This is the Gutenberg moment, repeated. Cheap production raises the question Solomon asked God to spare him from: how do I tell good from bad? When everything is fluent, fluency is not a signal. When everything is plausible, plausibility is not a signal. The reader must learn discernment, or the reader is at the mercy of the printer. A trained pastor knows the cadence of his own theology. A trained Christian knows the cadence of Scripture. A model that can mimic both is dangerous in proportion to how trained the listener is not. So the call from the Gutenberg moment is still the same call. Become a reader. Become a discerner. Do not outsource the work of knowing what is true. Consider what came after Gutenberg. In 1517, 62 years after the 42-line Bible, a German monk named Martin Luther sent 95 theses out into the open. Within 2 weeks, copies were circulating in 3 cities. Within 2 months, the whole of Europe was reading them. The press carried Luther, but the press also carried the men who wanted Luther silenced. The same year that printed his theses printed the woodcuts that mocked them. The same machine that distributed scholarly defenses of reform distributed broadsheets accusing reformers of demonic alliance. A press that could make a Bible cheap could make a slander cheap. James, the brother of our Lord, says it plainly. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth, and the tongue is a fire. He was writing of the tongue itself. He could just as well have been writing of any tool that lets the tongue travel farther than the body. The press was such a tool. The internet was such a tool. A large language model is such a tool. The fire is the same fire. Only the wind that carries it is new. So when we hold a new tool in our hands, the older test is the right test. Not what can it produce, but what will it kindle? Pause this for a moment. Think of one person you have known in your life who was intelligent but not wise. Ask yourself, did this come from somewhere I can check? If you cannot name a source, the model has not given you knowledge. It has given you a guess. The second is comparison to Scripture. If a model gives you a verse, open your Bible to that verse. Read the surrounding chapter. The model has learned a statistical map of how the words of the Bible travel together, but the map is not the territory. The territory is the word, the chapter, the testimony. The third is the question the model cannot answer. A model can tell you what people have written about God. It cannot tell you what God has said to you in the silence of your prayer. It can write a sermon. It cannot kneel. Always reserve for yourself the questions that need a knee, not a keystroke. There is a habit deeper than the first three, and it is the one most often missed. When a soul is breaking, what it needs is not better information. It needs a presence. A pastor at the door. A friend in the chair beside the hospital bed. A grandmother who prays with her hand on a forehead. These are not technical operations. They are gifts of a body. A language model can tell you what to say to a grieving widow. It cannot sit with her. It cannot bring her bread. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth that the body of Christ is many members but one body, every member necessary, none replaceable. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. The body of Christ cannot be downloaded. It must be entered. So when a new tool comes into the church, the older question is the right question to ask of it. Will this tool draw us nearer to the body or scatter us from it? A tool that helps a tired pastor write a clearer letter to his flock that draws nearer. A tool that lets a believer skip the meeting because the model already gave him the answer that scatters. The chisel that carves a pulpit and the chisel that smashes one are the same chisel. The hand on the chisel is what matters. So here are small weekly habits worth keeping. Read one chapter of Scripture each morning before any screen is open. Pray once a day in a room with no notification waiting. Meet with one brother or sister each week in a place where the model cannot follow. These are not rules, they are footings. They are the ground beneath the tools, the ground the tools cannot replace. a small family that meets twice a day, a hymn at 5 each morning Phoenix time, a teaching at 7 each evening. We hide our faces from Matthew chapter 6. The home of all of this is www.crossaihub.com. That is where the hymn library is, where the teaching archive grows, where everything points back to. We end with James, who held the two halves of intelligence together better than any apostle. The wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That list is the Bible's quality control test for any intelligence. The one in your phone, the one in your neighbor. Let the tools we build serve the wisdom we lack and not replace the wisdom you alone can give. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, the Logos. Amen. Tomorrow on Cross AI Hub, what does it mean to remember? Deuteronomy chapter 6 and how a phrase passed from a Hebrew grandmother to her grandson outlived every empire that tried to bury it. The peace of Christ to you.